The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And to kick things off here, we're going to respond to a little bit of listener mail. Because the entire episode kind of flows from that listener mail.
Yeah, I believe that we had a couple of listener emails that stemmed from an episode that we did on kids who were psychotic or the ability to actually identify children who might be sociopathic.
Yeah, and I mentioned in passing, it's like, oh, personhood, we could do an episode on that.
Yeah, because we talked about personhood, we talked about corporations, and we talked about a film that dealt with actually running corporations through this test of this sociopathic test and finding out that corporations actually fit the bill there.
Yeah, that if corporations were people and you psychoanalyzed them, your results would be kind of frightening.
So we thought, well, heck, why not do a podcast on personhood and get to the bottom of this topic?
Well, personhood is a deep thing to get to the bottom of, kind of bottomless in a way. But we're certainly going to do our best to explore the topic and raise questions in your mind about what it really means.
Yeah, and in particular, I wanted to call out listener Kelly B. She sent us an email, as well as did other people, but she let us know that it struck her interest, personhood, because she just finished a philosophy class on bioethics, and they talked about personhood in ways she said she never imagined were possible. And she actually even shared her class materials with us, which was really nice and very inspiring to talk about this.
Cool. So, personhood. What is a person? This is, what constitutes a person? This is rich philosophical ground. There are many definitions. There's a great deal of debate. Debate has raged on this, in philosophic circles for centuries. We are not going to nail down a precise definition in this episode. So you can expect, the philosophical questions to continue, but there are some basic ideas that we're going to run through about what a person is. Some definitions really center in on the idea that that the person in this case has strong moral rights and is deserving of legal protection. Other definitions focus in on the idea that this quote unquote person has higher moral status than other living things, And one of the more kind of succinct definitions comes from philosopher Mary Ann Warren, who lays out five different bullet points for personhood. She says, one, consciousness, okay? In particular, the capacity to feel pain. So is this quote-unquote person? And I'm not going to say quote-unquote person every time I use person in the podcast, so don't worry. But is this person capable of feeling pain? Are they conscious of what's happening around them and mm-hmm. their own pain? Number two, reasoning, the developed capacity to solve new and relatively complex problems. Is it figuring out how the world around it works? A stapler does not have reasoning at its disposal, for instance. Number three, self-motivated activity. Is it doing stuff independent of either genetic or direct external control? Does it have the capacity to communicate by whatever means are adequate for that particular person?
Mm-hmm.
And is it also aware of self-concepts? You know, is it self-aware of itself? Does it know that it knows something? So these five classifications are rather useful, but then they're also kind of problematic as well, because as we were discussing before we got into the studio, like what happens with a person if someone sustains an injury and they lose the ability to speak, if they're unconscious, like mm-hmm. now you're down to 3 out of 5. What does that mean? Are you 3/5 of a person? Are you, or is, would the scale really require that you at least hit 3 out of 5? And if you drop down to 2, then that's it? Or is it all or nothing?
Well, and there's all sorts of legal ramifications here that we'll get into, but I did want to go to the etymological roots here in terms of legality and go back to the word person, which mm-hmm. comes from Latin persona,
okay,
which means mask or to act apart. Person, this idea of a person, really sort of became much more nuanced in Roman society when it became attached to the notion of someone's identity and status, as you mm-hmm. mentioned. And then this evolved into the concept of personhood, which is then a legal right, not only to your name, but to all the wealth that you accumulate under that identity.
Okay, so in its origin, it's really more of an idea about public perception of me.
Public perception, public wealth, and rights, right? I mm-hmm. mean, if you're a person, you have specific rights. And it's crazy to say that, but at one time in history, some people were not considered a person, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't have rights. And I'm talking specifically about the 14th Amendment, which was a Reconstruction era amendment meant to bolster the effects of the Civil Rights Act passed in 1866. And it said that state and federal citizenship for all persons, regardless of race, both born or naturalized in the United States, was reaffirmed. No state would be allowed to abridge the privileges and immunities of citizens.
Mm-hmm.
No person was allowed to be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And four, the fourth condition, no person could be denied equal protection of the laws. So really what you're seeing here is this concept, this consciousness of self, this abstract, really sort of coming into concrete terms in terms of material possession or even just trying to navigate the world.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, like you said, when you look back in time, you can definitely find plenty of cases where not everyone was really afforded the same level of personhood as the other humans around them.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly a, like just in, say, the American South, you know, in relatively recent history, a man had more rights than a woman, and the man had more rights than the slaves that he owned, to say nothing of animals and corporations and what have you. Then you'll have shamanistic religions, say, cultures in, say, the Amazon or Siberia, Tibet's early Bon religion was animistic as well, where animals have a kind of spiritual essence, or there are other belief systems where even inanimate objects have kind of a spirit, and to a certain extent, you could say they have a kind of limited personhood,
mm-hmm.
in that these things are not mere objects, but they are things that matter on a spiritual level. And that changes the way that you interact with them. Not to the point where one would say, I'm suing a caribou this week. But to the extent... Well, because the caribou...
has no possessions
yeah.
to sue.
Or maybe it would be the other way around. The caribou could not sue me. But it would be a matter of when I kill a caribou, it maybe has a little more weight because that caribou means something in a larger sense.
You know, what's interesting, too, is that there's some, I guess you could say, radical thought that if you wanted to drop out of society, if you wanted to divorce yourself from this notion of material wealth and all those trappings, that you would inhabit an animalistic-like existence
mm-hmm.
wherein you don't have... you're not saddled with things or with this idea of legality or rights.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that you mentioned that, and some of the definitions of personhood I encountered really focused in on social aspects of mm-hmm. personhood. And one even made the argument that if you removed all of one's social, not merely activity, but just relationships in general, like a man alone on a desert island becomes less of a person because he has no interaction with real people.
Right.
And then, of course, then he applies personhood to a volleyball, and you got yourself a movie.
You were talking about Wilson.
Yeah.
What's the name of that movie again?
It was Tom Hanks is... The Island Dude.
Oh, The Island Dude.
Island
that
Dude
was
in Volleyball, the motion yeah. picture. Yeah. Castaway, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I just remember Wilson more than that, though, because that was really interesting, because Wilson is the projection of the person. What I wanted to mention here is that I think that all these conditions, these five conditions that you talked about, consciousness really seems to be the one that stands out the most, this underpinning of what a person is or what personhood is.
Yes. And that's great, too, because it's like, all right, so what makes a person? All right, they got to be conscious. And then you're like, all right, great. Well, what's consciousness? And
right.
and then you fall down the well, because that's one of the big philosophical questions. What is human consciousness? I mean, it's not only philosophical, it's neurological as well. It's an area that multiple fields continue to try and figure out. I mean, it's also the domain of spirituality and religion, like just trying to figure out what is going on with inside this mind and this person that we think we are. Like, just self-personhood is just impossible to wrap our heads around.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it turns out that Thomas Jefferson was really interested in this idea of consciousness and personhood, and he translated philosopher de Tracy's writing on personhood and treatise on political economy. And here's a quote from it. It says, "Now this idea of property can only be founded on the idea of personality. For if an individual had not consciousness of his own existence, distinct and separate from every other, he could possess nothing. He could have nothing peculiar to himself." So, again, here you see the legality of the issue really rising up again with this idea of consciousness, which then gets into the territory of, as Kelly B. pointed out, something you wouldn't normally think of, living wills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because now you have this idea of, okay, I have to meet these conditions. I have to be conscious. I have to be capable of rational thought. I have to be self-aware. I have to be capable of purposive behavior. And I have to possess a sense of my own existence over time. So my today self and then my tomorrow self.
Yeah.
And so you do get into this whole area of, okay, now my personhood is existing in different tenses. And it really does affect this ability to govern your life at later stages.
Yeah, some of the definitions of personhood that I encountered, too, also mentioned the idea that there is something consistent over the course of a lifespan for this person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the idea is that from birth to death, there is a, you know, Julie may change, but there is a certain Julie-ness to this person that remains the same. But then that raises questions. Well, what happens when, well, first of all, even though the Julie-ness may remain the same, Julie from a year ago and Julie from a year from now are kind of two different people.
Right.
To varying degrees. And certainly you look at cases where individuals have dementia or they've encountered something, even less severe that has significantly changed them. How does personhood factor into that? You encounter this, well, not you personally, but we all encounter this in looking at the cases of convicted felons. You know, someone goes to jail for a murder when they're 18, and then when they're 60 years old, like they're a different person, right? In an actual and legal sense, they are the same person that committed that crime in the past. But in another sense, they are really not that person anymore. They're not an 18-year-old who killed somebody. They're this older person who has had all these other life experiences between. So, I mean, it it gets ever more complex to really nail down right. that personhood.
Especially if you now go back to a living will that was made in a certain year of someone's life, and let's say that they have experienced brain death or some other circumstance which has changed their lot in life. Now you have to consider whether or not their past self really is in agreement with their now self, their present self, and to suss all of that, the legality out of that situation, which becomes really interesting. I thought this would probably be a decent place to mention something called Personhood USA.
Oh, yes.
This is a group behind multiple state-level measures to define life as beginning at conception rather than birth. And this is this idea that personhood really happens with the zygote, right?
Yeah. I mean, because ultimately, yeah, when you're talking about personhood, it also becomes a question of when does it begin and when does it end? Mm-hmm. Like, when does it end? Like, do you have to wait till the heart has stopped, till the brain is dead, till the body has decomposed? Is there a certain amount of legacy personhood where it's like, all right, well, the brain has died, but the body still lives, so it's not really a person anymore, but it was, so we're going to be cool with it? And then in terms of birth, yeah, is a person a person upon birth, upon conception?
I mean, a zygote doesn't meet those conditions that we talked about before, right?
Yeah, depending on, you know, it comes down to the language of it, like which definition you're going to throw out.
Right.
If you're going to focus on consciousness, then you have to wait between 20 and 32 weeks into gestation. And that's when cortical neurons become capable of firing in ways that make consciousness possible. Okay?
Yeah.
And then, you know, culturally, you see cases, especially in the past, where children had limited levels of personhood because up until a certain age, it was not guaranteed that they were going to really survive. So to what extent were the parents willing to invest in that child? So you might have personhood might not kick in until like age one. And then you've seen, you know, as far as arguments about does it begin upon conception? Does life begin ejaculation, you know? Are dry humps people? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting because it has this idea of personhood, USA, this group. If they were to, have legislation passed as they are proposing, you're basically saying that they would, you know, outlaw abortion at any point in a pregnancy for any reason and potentially ban the use of in vitro fertilization and, many types of contraception. So even IVF, this technology under these conditions of Parenthood USA or Parenthood Personhood USA would not be in use anymore. So
yeah.
The reason I bring this up is because personhood isn't just let's define, you know, the self and all the belongings that we have. It extends far more into these other realms of existence.
Yeah.
And as you say, birth and death.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we will drive forward into discussions of corporations as people, artificial intelligence as people, animals as people, and maybe even people as people. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And you might even get a Mitt Romney impression.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Well, you buttered everyone up with mention of it, so go ahead, give us that Mitt Romney impersonation that is so central to the discussion here.
Okay. Corporations are people, my friend. Nah.
No, that was good. That was good. That was good. That was not a sound clip. That was Julie doing a Mitt Romney voice.
Yeah, that wasn't. Mitt Romney's not here with us. Why do we bring that up?
Well, it's funny and it's topical because on one hand, it's Mitt Romney does have a lot of money and at times comes off a little robotic. So it's easy to have a lot of fun with the idea of corporations as people because we're also talking about AIs as people as well. But yeah, it's important because you get into this idea of attributing personhood to things that are not really people.
Right.
No matter where you are on the political side of the discussion, there's no denying that a corporation cannot be hit by a bus.
Right.
A corporation cannot go swimming in a pool. Well, certainly not a small pool. It's a rather different thing than a human being. And yet we have attributed it a large amount of personhood status when it comes to the law.
Yeah, metaphysical personhood is what we're talking about. And what happened basically, I mean, you can kind of look at the evolution of corporate personhood in this way. You had the Santa Clara versus Southern Pacific around mm-hmm. the turn of the century case, and this really helped define the personhood of corporations in terms of the 14th Amendment. So basically what lawyers did is they said, you know, we want corporations to be able to have certain rights that humans do. Is there a loophole here? And essentially the 14th Amendment was this loophole. So this case actually gave corporations a modicum at that time mm-hmm. of personhood rights. So when we're talking about rights, we're talking about rights to sue and be sued, vote, and exercise free speech. So it was limited at that time, and particularly if you think back to Roosevelt in about 1907 or so, there were further limitations, particularly with campaign money. Okay, yeah. So Roosevelt said there are limitations here. You can't just go around giving – corporations can't give campaign money to candidates that they like in swing votes, essentially.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
That would be crazy, although in 2010 the decision was made by the Supreme Court to essentially repeal about 100 years worth of legislation, at least when it comes to that. And they
money
do.
Money is free speech.
Money,
corporations are people.
Yeah.
And money is the thing that corporations speak with.
So corporations now can use their money to advance a political candidate, although they cannot give it directly to that candidate or to that campaign. But they can put up 1 million billboards, or they can air commercials, or any other way of trying to support that candidate.
I couldn't help but think, when I'm thinking of corporations as people, I can't help but think of and the idea that we are giving personhood to something that does not really exist.
Mm-hmm.
I keep thinking of tulpas, which are in like Tibetan mysticism, is this this thought form. It's the idea where you get three people in a room together, and they both, all three of them, really believe in something. If they all really believe, say, in a woman with fiery red hair,
mm-hmm.
and then that tulpa is born out of their thoughts. They think it, and they make that vision manifest in reality.
Okay,
and so especially if you look to ancient Roman law, you get this idea of a juristic person. This is a single non-human entity that legally represented a group of many people. So money comes out of me. It comes out of the other two people in the room. And we use that money to breathe life into this tulpa, into this non-real thing. Our money makes it real. Our money is an extension of us, and this thought form is an extension of that money. So the corporation
right.
flows out of that. And from there, I found it interesting that Thomas Jefferson, long before the 14th Amendment, he had apparently suggested explicit language to govern corporate entities in the Constitution. For instance, he had one of the stipulations that he had brought up was requiring maximum lifespans for corporations. So,
yeah, explain the maximum lifespans a bit more.
Well, my understanding of this, it would be like those three individuals in the room that
mm-hmm.
believe in the fiery red woman and create her out of their thoughts. If they die, then the tulpa, the thought form, can't exist anymore. It was made of their thoughts, and if they cannot think those thoughts, then it is gone. Likewise, a corporation is made out of money coming from people.
Mm-hmm.
And if those people are no longer there, then the money cannot sustain it, and it must die.
So in this scenario, it would be sort of like the stockholders. So this personhood would be attached to the stockholders' lifespan, as opposed to what is now
yeah,
set
as,
up,
as opposed
which is
to this situation
immortality.
Now, where a corporation is maybe a person on in this legal level, but it's also a person that cannot die.
Yeah.
I mean, it cannot die in the sense that you and I can die, and it also can't say be put in prison if it does something wrong.
Well, and I think that the criticism that comes up here is that when you have a really powerful corporation with a ton of capital to spend that is sort of immortal,
mm-hmm.
then it's not a level playing field. They are not a person. They even though they have the rights of a human. And so that, I think, is what people take issue with when it comes to politics, especially, because then you have something that's sort of like a superhuman. Each corporation, billions and billions of dollars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And trying to influence the way that the politics are played out in the public arena.
Yeah. You end up with a situation where it's like, hey, this person that you guys created or that your grandfathers created just, destroyed a town or landed on my house or did some sort of evil in the world. And
it's kind of like a golem.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the golem is it, you know, very, very akin to that idea of the tulpa, of the thought form, a non-living thing that is given life through magic, or in this case, finance and law.
And doesn't necessarily have critical thought. It is only, the golem is only tied to what it has been told to do, right? It's
right.
Not necessarily thinking, is this the best situation here for everybody involved?
Well, you see discussions about various corporations and discussions of the values within that company. And there's a lot of discussion about, well, what are the values that are put in place when that company is created? And while those values might not necessarily stand the test of time as mm-hmm. that corporation grows and adapts over time, it's still, those values are still kind of in its DNA. Like not to toot our own horn, but you know, we work for Discovery Communications, and I feel like there are some good values in the DNA of that company. And I'll talk to other people who work for companies that shall remain nameless that that maybe don't have as good of DNA going on. That like that some values were missing in the origins of that particular company.
Okay, so, I mean, that's...
The programming, if you will.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is that it's almost like programming the code.
Yeah.
And what do you program there? Because, again, the company is going to outlive all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it look like several generations down the line?
All right, well, at this point in the discussion, we really need to take a break. And we're adding this in post-recording. We just talked about personhood quite a bit in this recording session, and we really decided we needed to split it up into two episodes to do it justice.
Yeah, definitely we had to have this foundation in order to talk about the next section, which will be about robots and animals. So at this point, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. You guys can find us on Facebook,
where we are Stuff to Blow Your Mind, and you can find us on Twitter, where we are Blow the Mind.
And you can always email us at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah.
Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.